Well, today is the seventh Sunday of the Easter season. These Sundays have been a gentle reminder that Easter was not a one-off event with trumpets and alleluias, but in fact, 40 days of the unfolding of the meaning and the experience of the resurrection of Christ. For seven Sundays and 40 days, the friends of Jesus have been experiencing him vibrationally sound and strong, a palpable energy and spirit with them. Their fear was giving way to hope that a good man could not be cut down or kept down, that ultimate good within us will rise up and will prevail. They were on a roll again, cautiously. The movement that had, for all purposes, been cut down started to poke itself up after those first terrible events and take root like the first grass in spring and not be held back. This Easter finale, though, if you like, is bookended by two parties. I like parties myself, most of us do. The party of that actual Easter celebration, and then the continuous little parties of coming back to life, and then next Sunday, which is the birthday of the Christian church called Pentecost. This Sunday, even though it's a finale, has a bit of that in-between feeling. We're finishing Easter. Next Sunday, we celebrate a birthday. Well, being in between can feel sometimes like being in between. Any of you in that state this morning? A good friend may be moving away. The life of the party may have left, and you're wondering, now what? And now with whom? And what next? Or maybe that big thing has happened that you've been planning for and anticipating, and now the cleaning up is done and the thank you notes are sent and you're going, next, but I'm not sure I have the energy. Or maybe you're wondering, like Ian Tyson did in Four Strong Winds, the good times, are they all gone? Let's think about some of those things as we transition. Well, what do we do when we're not quite sure? Jesus told his friends to wait and pray together. The Acts reading this morning has a bit of a wistful feeling. It's like when the audience finally lets a luminous star go. Do you know, it was 3 years ago on June 5th that Ollie Schroer, known to some of you, had his last concert in this very space. 800 people packed in the church, steamy June night. And Ollie came on for his last public appearance by himself, and at the end he just whistled and kind of slapped his knees to keep time, and we wouldn't let him go until two young helpers came and just kind of got him off the stage. And as some of you know, Ollie held forth as the grand host in his hospital room, which was set up like a music recording studio, and visitors would find him comforting his teams of doctors and his oncologist. There was Ollie. But it's that image of the two helpers helping him off stage when we wouldn't let him go that lingers. And I'm reminded of the disciples of Jesus looking longingly as he leaves for the last time. On a cloud is the metaphor. We won't go there now. And two angels dressed in white come and they say, don't stand here looking after him. His human container is finished, his spirit spreading outward. He's going now. Get back to work. Get back to work. Keep the faith. Start loving people around you. That's your work now. And in fact, as you know, lots of Ollie's young students revived the fiddle training, and in fact, the story goes on. Well, it's not until Pentecost, which we celebrate next Sunday, that we get a fuller understanding of what Jesus was trying to tell them, because he did try to tell his friends and followers something before he left. just as Ollie whistled, Jesus said one more time, "Okay, guys and women and everyone else, I know I'm leaving and it's sad, but this is what you're going to do. First of all, don't do anything. You've been through a loss. You're going through a change. You're wondering what's what. It's kind of scary out there. So don't leave the city. Stay gathered in one place for 10 days. Stay gathered together. Feel your feelings. Grieve, laugh, be quiet, be silly. But pray. Pray silently, pray together. But pray until your very breath feels like one. And guess what? The same Spirit that's been in me since the beginning of time, the Spirit of Christ, the Logos, the creative word sound, that same Spirit, you're going to feel it being in you. It always has been. But when you stay for 10 days together and breathe and pray, you're going to feel it rising up. And then you're going to feel it getting up again and going out there and doing something. And so, Acts tells us, 120 people by that time, not just 12, by 120, stayed together and prayed for 10 days. And in so doing, came into being of the same Spirit. In Greek, the word means homothumadon. That word may be translated for our ears as the life force in their lungs synced up. They didn't wait for God to zap them from on high, but rather they opened themselves to each other through this time together, which we may call discernment these days, through this time together, so that God's uniting power could take hold within them. Then, as a community, they started to spread out with a rather startling commission because, still clueless, they thought their leader was there to help them regain those mythic golden days of Israel when kings were giants and ruled the dinosaurs 1,000 years ago. And they wanted to give the Roman Empire the boot too, which seemed to be a harder task than at first set out. And now, Jesus, before you go, we want you to do it for us. And the message is, you are now my hands and feet. And don't get focused on that thing that you wanted me to do. I want you now to spread out to the ends of the earth and be part of transformational love. What? The ends of the earth? Malcolm Gladwell is one of those writers these days who finally you just have to break down and read him, right? The guy's everywhere, winning awards, little essays popped up. So I picked up a book and I read a snippet, which was interesting. And he said, when under stress, people tend to do two things. Some get focused very narrowly upon the thing that they're stressing about. Others broadly open up other possibilities. And I invite you to think, which is your natural tendency, to get really narrow or to go broad? You may want to think about that. He advises us, instead of getting really narrow and trying to keep pressuring that thing that won't give, go broader and invite an abundance of possibilities. And so Jesus is saying, yep, I know this Roman Empire has you under its heel, and yep, I'm not sure those mythic golden days are ever going to come back, but there is a calling for you out there, and you're going to find it. Yesterday, I went to the annual open house at Central Tech. Anyone there? Good. A few people were wandering in the hallways. Well, I went because I have friends in that iconic building taking an art program. For those who don't know, one of the best kept secrets is when you're retiring very actively, as Roger Beck, one of our new members, is doing, one of your options when you hit, say, 70, like one of my friends did, is to go to school for 3 years. For a nominal fee, you too can go to art school at Central Tech. And it's unbelievable what they're doing there. So I went to see my friend Jane's latest stuff, but little did I know I would find some of the guts of my sermon there, both in a sculpture and what the sculpture wrote. And I'm going to share that with you. There in the hallway was a sculpture of a female torso made of natural clay and iron dioxide, and it was punctured with little holes. And I see Linda Dawn nodding. She saw it too. There was a light within it, and the light was coming out of those little holes. And it was in a darkened space, and you can imagine that when it got really dark, the form of the woman kind of got very luminous and shadowy, and it's the light that came through. And this is what Diane B. Liel, the sculptor, said. She called her creation radiation, the act of spreading outward from a central source. Within us, is there a canyon of existence that we can keep hidden from the world? Is this most secret part of us also the most beautiful part of us? Where did the energy come from? Is it damaging to keep it contained inside us? Is releasing it necessary for transformation? Is this a shared human experience? Can acknowledging this shared human experience unite us? And can we, in the releasing of that which is within us, break attachments to that which does not serve us? This work addresses the energy contained within a human being and the fragility and beauty of the moment when the opportunity arises that allows it to radiate and interact with the universe. At that moment, seen most clearly in the darkness, the human self as a container is secondary to the energy and light contained within. This work is simultaneously both physical reality and metaphor. Well, my friends, I submit to us that while I love my human container, thank you very much, it's probably secondary to the light of Christ that flickers a little within me. And my purpose is to share that. And I would submit, in fact, that is your purpose as well, that comes through our particular embodiments in the world. And what helps that light spread out long after this human container is dissolving, perhaps many years, perhaps prematurely, that's in God's time. But our light does grow stronger when it's shared and unified around purpose. And I submit that is what we are as in church, in part, a container that points beyond ourselves, that we gather intentionally. We plan meetings even when we don't feel like it at the time. We plan ahead for that event. We plan for small groups that can contain and hear our best intentions and hold us accountable. Because guess what? We want to know how you're doing with that exercise program, that diet, that artwork, that new relationship. We hold each other accountable. And as I close, I want to talk about another great thing that happened here. Remember March 20th when David Craig was reading, did the play reading? Place was packed, lots of energy. Is it a one-off like Easter? No. Our team got together and we thought, how do we keep that energy going along with the restorative justice work that BJ and Elda and John and Lynn and others of you have been doing faithfully? And so we met last Thursday, and there will be circles, an invitation to join circles that will meet monthly starting in September. Lois Kunkel, Pat Archer will be facilitating. It's not firmly tied to working with ex-offenders, but rather you're invited to circles, a circle where we can practice nonviolent communication, practice being human in a circle, expressing and hearing ourselves, with opportunities unfolding to serve. And it felt really good to create a container that we can bring as a spiritual practice into our lives, offer it, invite our neighbors into it. Narrator, Central Tech, who knows? Our circles will expand. So it's one of the things we do as a church community. We keep it going as a container, knowing that we're secondary always to the light of Christ, which is bigger out there in the world, bigger than any religious container. But we do our best in this time and place. We invite you to take up your part in that, even when it seems like an in-between time, even when it seems like you're too busy. And next Sunday, when we celebrate the birthday of the Christian Church, adapting to the conditions as they unfold, holding up Carol and Lemon in the light, we will celebrate. And instead of standing looking up into heavens at better golden times in the past, we will look to each other and turn to each other, as Meg Wheatley said, turn to each other and invite others into creating what we can, and it will be awesome. Let us pray. Oh God, we give thanks for people who show up to be interested in us, to hold a space for us, to listen us through our griefs and celebrate our joys and bring forth the creative potential within. May we each take our turn holding the space and being part of the circle. Amen.